The Glorious Destiny Israel might have had one author's introduction. To bring the best gifts of heaven to all peoples, God called Abraham from his idolatrous kindred and bade him dwell in Canaan. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. It was a high honor to which Abraham was called, to be the father of the people who were to be the preservers of the truth of God, the people through whom all nations should be blessed in the advent of the promised Messiah. Men had well nigh lost the knowledge of the true God. Their minds were darkened by idolatry. Yet God in His mercy did not blot them out of existence. He designed that the principles revealed through His people should be the means of restoring the moral image of God in man. God's law must be exalted, and to the house of Israel was given this great work. God separated them from the world and purposed through them to preserve among men the knowledge of Himself. Thus a voice was to be heard appealing to all peoples to turn from idolatry to serve the living God. God brought His chosen people out of Egypt that He might bring them to a good land He had prepared as a refuge from their enemies. In return for His goodness they were to make His name glorious in the earth. Miraculously preserved from the perils of the wilderness wandering, they were finally established in the land of promise as a favored nation. Isaiah told with touching pathos the story of Israel's call and training. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts, the prophet declared, is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. This people were hedged about by the precepts of his law, the everlasting principles of truth, justice, and purity. Obedience was to be their protection, for it would save them from destroying themselves by sinful practices. And as the tower in the vineyard, God placed in the midst of the land his holy temple. Christ was their instructor, their teacher and guide. In the temple his glory dwelt in the holy Shekinah above the mercy seat. Through Moses the purpose of God and the terms of their prosperity were made plain. Thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, he said, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. It was God's purpose that by the revelation of his character through Israel men should be drawn to him. To all the world the gospel invitation was to be given. Through the teaching of the sacrificial service, Christ was to be uplifted, and all who would look to him should unite themselves with his chosen people. As the numbers of Israel increased, they were to enlarge their borders until their kingdom should embrace the world. But ancient Israel did not fulfill God's purpose. The Lord declared, I had planted thee an noble vine, wholly a right seed, how then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. He looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. By refusing to keep his covenant, God's people would cut themselves off from his blessings. Often in their history they forgot God, robbed him of the service he required of them, and robbed their fellow men of religious guidance and a holy example. Their covetousness and greed caused them to be despised even by the heathen. Thus the world was given occasion to misinterpret the character of God and the laws of his kingdom. With a father's heart, God patiently set before his people their sins and waited for their acknowledgement. prophets and messengers were sent to urge his claim, but, instead of being welcomed, these men of discernment and spiritual power were treated as enemies. God sent still other messengers, but they received still more determined hatred. The withdrawal of divine favor during the exile led many to repentance, yet after their return to the land of promise, the Jewish people repeated the mistakes of former generations and brought themselves into political conflict with surrounding nations. The prophets whom God sent to correct evils were received with suspicion and scorn. Thus, from century to century, the keepers of the vineyard added to their guilt. The goodly vine planted by the divine husbandman on the hills of Palestine was despised by Israel and was finally cast over the vineyard wall. The husbandman removed it, and again planted it, but on the other side of the wall and in such a manner that the stalk was no longer visible. The branches hung over the wall, and grafts might be joined to it, but the stem itself was placed beyond the power of man to harm. Of special value to God's church today, the keepers of his vineyard, are the messages given through the prophets. In them his love for the lost race and his plan for their salvation are clearly revealed. The story of Israel's call, their successes and failures, their restoration to divine favor, their rejection of the master of the vineyard, and the carrying out of the plan of the ages by a remnant. This has been the theme of God's messengers to his church throughout the centuries that have passed. The master of the vineyard is now gathering from among men of all nations and peoples the precious fruits for which he has long been waiting. Soon he will come unto his own, and in that glad day his eternal purpose will finally be fulfilled. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit.